Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. Today, October the 16th, 2014, the 19th anniversary of the historic gathering that drew 2 million black men to Washington, D.C. for a holy day of atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. The Million Man March. And it is a historical fact, it is a statistical fact, that this was the largest, the cleanest, and the most peaceful gathering in the mall at the Capitol in U.S. history. And not a single arrest, you hear me? Not a single arrest took place. And of course, we all know that the Million Man March was rooted in the vision and divine guided insight of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He saw that there was a need to counter the horrific negative image of black males that was being projected around the globe. And he has talked to us many times about sitting and watching the carnage at Tiananmen Square in China, when the young students protested against the Chinese government, how that first young man was just run over by a tank right on international television. And, of course, the Million Man March was just so incredible, where our men were called upon to commit and to recommit to be better husbands, fathers, providers, protectors of our community. And as I just came off the very popular satellite radio program, Make It Plain, hosted by our brother Mark Thompson, who spoke at the march 19 years ago, and also in that crowd among brothers from all walk of life, you had everybody from Tyrone down the street, all the way to a young politician named Barack Obama. They were all there. And so we're so happy that this year, the 19th anniversary, is going to mark what will be another monumental event. The minister is just an incredible, incredible, extraordinary human being. Because now, for the first time, the Holy Day of Atonement is going to be outside of the continental United States, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will deliver the keynote address on Sunday, October the 19th, in Kingston, Jamaica, from the National Arena, and it will be carried live via internet webcast, so wherever you are, you can see and hear it. Just by going to NOI.org. That's going to be 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central. And I am joined, I'm so happy that my co-host, Brother Terrence, who is busy, 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 he's at an event this evening, and he's about to jet off to Kingston so he can be part of this incredible event. But he took time to come on Elevated Places and be with Mom and Pop and and his siblings. We're so proud of you, son. And Allah will bless you. He will bless you for taking, because I know you did not have this time this evening. So I want to get you to share some of your famous commentary. You know, many people tune in just to hear you. And so we want to give them that little taste before somebody grabs you.
Right.
And you have to leave us. But welcome. Assalamu alaikum. We're also joined by our contributor analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, as well. But Brother Terrence, tell us what's going on.
I am floating. I think I've almost learned how to teleport because I am already mentally in Jamaica.
And, don't say that again, because Dr. Salam might hear that. So you're confirming what he has said all along. Okay.
No, it is a real beautiful thing. The purpose, you know, and one of the purposes, reasons why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants us to go to Jamaica, we know it's the birthplace of his father, the birthplace of Marcus Garvey, Bob Marley. But, you know, when they're having a national discussion about reparations in the Caribbean, you know, for us to go back and show an example of a damaged, destroyed, obliterated people, literally, mentally, spiritually, economically, coming back with a glow of radiance, showing an example of repair, the work of God in the midst of those that, you know, are slaves here in the so-called, in the hells of North America, is a beautiful thing. And the pictures that people are posting on social media of the beautiful garments, the sisters in their headpieces and their garments, the brothers coming in, the soldiers coming in, you know, it's like the general gave a call and the army just is, they don't care where on the continent that the minister is calling for us to go. We are showing up and we're showing the brothers and sisters of Kingston, Jamaica that we love them. We're going to the shops. We're going to the museums. We're going in the communities. And one sister out of Detroit, Sister Mahalaika, just started posting some pictures and she's like, you got problems. You think you got problems. And she was showing the poverty in Kingston, but the resilience of the people that's still there, even though they're in abject poverty. So some of the issues that we think we have and problems that we think we have, we'll get another look and another blessing that we are with a man who is bringing us up. As the song said, we started from the bottom, now we're here. And so it's a beautiful thing to celebrate 19 years. And I remember in that same year getting registered in the Nation of Islam and being able to not only be at the Million Man March, but being blessed by God Almighty to actually be on the stage during the Million Man March and coming back for the Million Family March, coming back for Millions More Movement, and knowing that there were children not even born. My son was not even born during that time, and it's a history that we will continue to carry. And I remember at one of our national Millions More Movement, Sister Maria mentioned to us, just like they fought to have Martin Luther King birthday or holiday, which all states don't carry, but they fought and were persistent to make it a reality. And she mentioned that we can't allow anyone else to make it a memory, history. We got to make sure that we continue to uplift and say long live the spirit of the Million Man March, as Dr. Ben Chavis once said, and he said it all the time, long live the spirit of the Million Man March. And the question is, what is that spirit? That spirit is one of love. That spirit is one of reconciliation. That spirit is one of atonement. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing as we are watching this manifest and the believers going down to Kingston, Jamaica, and not just going to Montego Bay to hang out, but we're going into the heart, the capital where our people are in Kingston, Jamaica, to hear a powerful, beautiful delivery of a message by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, yes, I am in the midst of a program, so I will be dropping off our good brother, a brother named D1, D1 out of New Orleans. He just got signed to one of a major record label, RCA. He was on BET, the Cypher, the Hip Hop Awards. But he's an artist that keeps God first, and he's an artist that never compromised, never cursed in his lyrics, but actually got a major deal where in this art that people are cursing and yelling and disrespecting women, but he puts it out there that he is one that follows God. And not only does he have music on the mainstream radio, but he actually has a song out on the gospel radio. And so it's a beautiful thing to be with him and a group called the Brassaholics that are giving the culture of that beautiful brass instruments out of New Orleans. And I think in the next couple of weeks, I think I'll be at a different location once again, because for North Carolina, or for all black colleges, we're in homecoming seasons right now, where everybody gets to partake in their university's homecoming. But I would say the Holy Day of Atonement is our homecoming. We're coming home to greet our people. And I just say that we are an international people, and we're not limited by landmass. And that's the beauty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because some of the believers have never left the country, never left. Right. A lot of believers have never left their city, but because where the minister go, we follow, and we don't follow just blindly. We follow because we see him in the scriptures. We see the work that he is doing. We see that Jesus in the scriptures talks about at first he was going to the lost sheep, but knowing the end, or near the end of his ministry, he said, now go spread his gospel throughout the world. And we're seeing him through 3 world tours. We've seen him through the Caribbean tours. And now he's taking a contingent of believers back to Jamaica for our 19th anniversary of the Holy Day of Atonement. So I'm just amped. I am excited.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just happy to be a part of this family and this nation at this day and time that we are here in the midst watching God's man do his work. So they already know, they already got my assignment. So once I touch ground, boots will be down and I'll be ready to go to work.
And you know, the spirit, as the minister said when brother made the mention of the long live the spirit, he said, but that spirit's got to translate into reality and an action.
Right.
And
right.
You know, as I mentioned on Mark's show, the effect of the Nation of Islam in real economic terms is that it's being estimated that $15 million at a minimum is going to come into the city just as a result of us coming in and all of the people that are being drawn there. Because Minister Farrakhan and the nation are coming in, and the officials in Kingston, because generally that those billions of dollars, I think it's $27 billion a year, is spent on tourism in the Caribbean, but the Aboriginal people of the planet who are there don't usually get that. They have the same employment issues, same violence, same police terrorism, all of that going on in a different form, because they're under British rule, French rule, Dutch rule, et cetera, from the colonialism. But what the minister is doing is making a profound and real impact on the economy of Kingston, because Kingston is a city, it's urban. You know, if you're in Chicago, in Inglewood, or Auburn Gresham, you're in Kingston, Jamaica. You know, as you said, that's not Montego Bay. That's not Ocho Rios or the beaches that you see on television. But this is the city. This is where our people live. And they generally are bypassed. But the officials there are just thrilled that the minister is giving Kingston the opportunity to show on a global level, because remember, this is going to go around the earth. And because it's the minister, people are going to be watching from around the earth, and they will see the ability of the people of Kingston to put on a world-class event. And,
exactly.
And so that's just one of the profound effects that Minister Farrakhan generates. He truly is a light-giving son.
And, you know, and just like you said, a light-giving son, the beauty of seeing him with the believers today, some of the pictures that, you know, and just seeing the crew from the Final Call newspaper being there, our video crew, just capturing the beauty, you know, of this. And like you said, he's bringing light in the midst of darkness. You know, he's bringing light wherever he goes. And like you said, he's on the world stage. You know, he's just not this, you know, oratorical person that's just speaking. He delivers the word of God. He delivers light in the darkness of people's mind. And as you said, he's not just giving a lecture just to make you tickle your ear, but he's giving instructions and guidance of how to build something for yourself by giving our brothers and sisters the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, and then actually teach them of an economic program that they
That's
can get
right.
involved in, that they can actually pull their own resources under their feet and
yeah.
do something for themselves. So when we look at, you know, we look at Africa, and we know it for a long time here on Ask Dr. Ava Elevated Places that we were saying that separation is a key. And when we mean separation, separation from let people rule us and control us and take our resources and keep us in poverty. So when people talk about Africa is such a poor country, no, they're not poor. They're a rich country. If you keep everybody
exactly.
out from raping the country, you know, then they could be able to utilize their own riches, their own wealth, to do what is necessary to build their economy, to build their infrastructure, and that's what the minister is going to offer them. And that's why they feel a threat, because everybody has been coming over to Jamaica, coming to the Caribbean, coming to Africa, and taking what they want and building up their world and leaving our people in decimal poverty. But that's why they can't hold him down. Minister Farrakhan is on the ground. He's in Jamaica, and we're going to say Ja Rastafari.
Well, I'm going to read these words from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the calls are starting to come in. Because as you just pointed out so beautifully, that's what Elevated Places is all about. We're about giving a platform to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction and guidance of his national representative, his anointed and appointed, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we want to be reminded of message to the black man. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the economic blueprint that he has laid out, which the minister has reintroduced, because we're never going to know freedom until we implement it. And he says in here, the black man in America faces a serious economic problem, and the white racist Christianity cannot solve it. You, so-called American Negro, with the help of Allah, can solve your own problem. And see, this is what we are taking into the Caribbean, beginning with the homeland of Minister Farrakhan's father, Jamaica. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes here, the truth must be recognized by the black man. He himself has assisted greatly in creating the serious problem of unemployment, insecurity, and lack. Before the black man can begin to gain economic security, he must be awakened from the dead and gain knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, which will enable him to follow my teachings. Islam, and only Islam, will point the way out of the entanglement of want in the midst of plenty for the followers of Islam, the true religion of the black nation. And that's what Minister Farrakhan is taking to our people, and they are more than ready for this message and the blueprint. We have to recognize this. He gives us those five steps. Recognize the necessity for unity and group operation. That's number one. Number two, pool your resources physically as well as financially. Three, stop wanton criticisms of everything that is black-owned and operated. Four, keep in mind, jealousy destroys from within. And five, observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. So we're joined tonight. Brother Terrence is really blessing us, and he is on fire. I'm putting flames sure. out through the phone. Dr. Risley is joining us, definitely a believer as our Minister of Agriculture, in recognizing unity and group operation. And I guess that begins, Dr. Risley, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is stressing, from his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, acquisition of land, control of our own food. So we're welcoming you to the table tonight as well.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Well,
wa alaikum salam.
You know, one of the things to have unity, you know, you must be together. And the enemy over the last 50 years has scientifically split us up. Used to be in the black community, the poor, the middle class, and even our professional people, because of segregation, we all lived together. You know, right up the street. You know, would be the undertaker or the preacher and the teacher and also the factory worker. You know, right down the street, we all would live together. Now, from that, I know in my city, Winston-Salem, we had our own bus company, cab companies. We had our own section of business area in downtown that was kind of set apart from the other area because of segregation. So it allowed for us to, in fact, you know, to have some things together. And we didn't have our doors locked, you know, from each other. And they came in and they busted our communities up by offering jobs to certain sectors of us. Then when they gave us the job, they took us away to another part of the country. And then those people were like vagabonds and nomads. So every 5 years, you got to move someplace else. If you want to move up into the hierarchy of the company to move up, you had to move out. And then they brought in drugs into the community for the people that left. And I saw communities that I lived in destroyed by drugs. And therefore, we got to lock our windows, lock our doors. We're afraid of one another. So the unity is something natural, but we got to understand that we live amongst the devil, who his purpose is to destroy. And as long as we live among them, allow them to dictate our behavior and our economics, they're going to put us in a situation that we're going to be beneath them and antagonistic to each other. So the blueprint offers us a very natural solution to our problem, but we're dealing with an unnatural man. And we got to pull away from that to do that which is beneficial to us. As we look at Jamaica and our other places around the world, you will find following America, following the American black man and woman, you know, with their chains around their necks, and pulling their pants down, following us being foolish. So Minister Farrakhan going to showing repair to the members of the Nation of Islam a different view of the black man and woman in America to help them in the Caribbean pull their pants up and to do something for themselves.
And I'll tell you, you're exactly right on every point you made. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, too, that the minister warned us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us as a people before that, and the minister, I've heard him say it in recent years, that we're too slow here in America, black people in America. We're the ones that God came to, the descendants
right.
of slaves here in America. But God's mercy is abundant, but it's not infinite. And at a certain point, he's got to keep it moving. Okay?
Right.
And that's why
mm-hmm.
he says in the Quran, I'll replace you with another people.
Mm.
Okay? But the minister had said he refrained from engaging too deeply with black people, because we're everywhere. We're all over the earth, and it's our planet. But the reason he didn't engage heavily in Africa and the Caribbean and even black people in the European cities and the cities in Central and South America and in the Asia is because they would accept this word and respond
mm-hmm.
to it much quicker. And so now he's doing that.
That's right.
He has to do it now. The time
right.
has come. for him to do it. And what we're going to see is our people will respond. And so that delegation that he's taking to give a model of what Islam looks like, and that's why such emphasis has been placed to the believers on how we conduct ourselves, because we literally now are being utilized by Allah to be the model and example of a new world coming in. 6,000, I think the arena where he's going to speak seats 6,000 people. So it's gonna be amazing.
We still on?
You know what? I went out for a second and my screen went off. I guess the conversation is to... So I'm gonna try to pull my screen back up. So I can start to take calls. But you just made me think of that while you were talking about recognizing that this people or mankind that we live among, we're not gonna go anywhere until we turn our back on them. And
stop
looking to them. Mm-hmm.
When we was in Savior's Day, somebody called up on the program and asked whether the economic blueprint was divine. And, I responded by, well, the five principles of the economic blueprint is that which every normal people on the planet follow. And for a whole people not to be following that, that meant that a devil had to come in somewhere and get the people off track, because that's... The five principles are natural. Therefore, it took God himself to come to get it straight, because something is wrong with us, and we know it. And now we have to determine whether we have enough guts just to reach out to God to help us do which is natural for human beings to do. So we have to fight for our life, and that's what Islam for us is all about, is fighting for our very existence.
Yes, sir, and you're right, and it is divine because it's from the mind of God. It's the way in which Allah created the universe, and it's in not only the Quran but the Bible, each after its own kind.
That's right.
It's the nature and harmony of things that you start out with your own kind. That's how
right.
you develop, because each kind has its place in the nature of things. And what we are dealing with now, and a lot of our people just have a very difficult time accepting the truth, that you're dealing with a made people now. A made
right.
people are walking on the planet, and that is why you have all of this violence, this disease, wars, theft, rape, robbery, child molestation, all kind of freakish behavior as a result of the presence of these people. And until we accept and understand that, we're going to continue to suffer. But again, this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah will make you separate.
That's right.
That's why you can't get an indictment in the murder of Michael Brown. We're being forced
right.
to see the futility of this.
And, you know, we can't love everybody, you know,
right.
unless you love self first. And this is the confusion that they put out in the church. And I did a search of the Bible. You know, they got these computers now, so it makes it easy to do. You put in love everybody. So you said
right.
put in quotation marks, love everybody, and go to one of those search engines of the Bible, you will not find that phrase anywhere, not in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament, nowhere. So this is just something that was made up for us to follow that has nothing to do with God's directives.
Yeah, and in fact, in your upcoming book, you talked about that. And you challenge the people to find anywhere in the Bible where it says to the people that, where did Jesus say love everybody? Where is that?
Where is that? No, this is something that the preachers put in. The masters gave them, put that in there, and they preach it. And we think that because it comes from the rostrum, that it came from God. You know, we're dealing with a wicked being who has and will continue to lie on God himself. So we're going to have to make the decision on what we want to listen to. Do we want to listen to a liar, or do we want to listen to a man of truth and then follow his instructions without fear? Unfortunately, we know he's right. Everybody knows Mr. Farrakhan is right. But because their gut is in somebody else's kitchen, you know, this is why we work so hard here at the farm and why we're not going to be able to make it to Jamaica, because we're in the middle of a harvest season. You know, the gut, when you're afraid, you feel it in the gut first, right in the stomach. In your pit of your stomach, they say. Well, we are afraid to leave the enemy because he feeds us. So we have to get our stomach out of his kitchen so we can get our head from behind his jail.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I've got my screen partially up. It looks kind of crazy, but I see the callers, and I got Brother Keith on. Brother Keith is calling with a question and a comment. Welcome back to Elevated Places, Brother Keith.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ava, and Brother Dr. Ridgely.
Walaikum salam, sir.
And I want to make an emphasis on what you said on the international theme. And message to the black man is towards the back of the page and answer to the critics. The Honorable Muhammad states that the Nation of Islam is not an organization. The Nation of Islam is a world.
Mm.
All 196,940,000 square miles of this planet. So, you know, the minister making a move on the international scene is something big. Because I see this, he's setting up a beachfront behind enemy lines, or he's setting up an embassy for the messenger.
Right.
So when you look at it like that, and you don't look at it as simply a vacation, because about his stream, he made a strong emphasis, you know, this is not no vacation. I know a brother in particular, he went a couple of days in advance, so he could do that. But when it's time to work, it's time to work. But, you know, on the international scene, as far as on the politics, we got to become an international people. Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, he said Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. He tried to link us to a continent, but so he link us to history as it relates to the continent of Africa. He said, you're a rich people. He said if you knew your glory and history overnight, you know, we can change our reality. Until we know who we are, the enemy is, and who God is, we ain't going nowhere. Because you can put money in the hands of Negroes. I guarantee you'll be going in next week, if not overnight. And I got a question, as far as, you know, I'd like to have a show, a recommended show, next week or so, whenever you can. You got to do a show on who is that Allah's God, who is that mystery God. Because that is a continued problem. It's a belief in this God, some God up in the sky.
Thank you,
loving
Brother
everybody,
King.
That's an absolute political trickery.
But thank you so much.
Walaikum
salam. Yes, and you know, on that mystery God, it's the same enemy, these so-called Negro preachers and politicians and now journalists and talk show people on TV, many of them, are perpetuating that. And so we do have to revisit that, because we do remain in a spooky world where we just think God is there. And it's maintained, and this is why Master Farid Muhammad forbid the reading of fairy tales and the devil's bedtime stories to our children, because those are designed to prep us for spookism.
Mm.
See, it's spookism is not in the nature of the black man or woman. It's not in our nature. We know we're God. And so it takes a reshaping and retraining of the brain into, and so we're presented from the womb all the way through our first 4, 5, 6 years of life with all of these fantastic, unrealistic, bizarre illusions that don't happen. like the idea that some fat white man squeezes himself into the chimneys of millions of homes and flies on a sleigh with toys in one night and goes to everybody's house.
Oh, come on.
Okay, and so your mind gets prepped for madness.
Right.
As
right.
a young child, and that's why he forbid the
right.
reading of the devil's bedtime stories. But we got to go back, brother's right, and
yep.
continue to go after spookism because it remains an enemy. I'm going to go to Sister Darcelle, who has a comment. And I was blessed to meet Sister Darcelle
yes,
when I was in Raleigh.
Alaikum. I was so excited to
Salaam.
Meet you. You are so beautiful, and I was so glad to give you just a little token of my appreciation. And I was so blessed, thanks to Allah, to travel by myself from the shores of the Carolinas. So it was
yes,
more
ma'am.
Than a pleasure of meeting you. I just wanted to make a comment and maybe a suggestion. First, a suggestion on Twitter, if it is all possible. I know you're so busy. If we would know the topic, so if I would know a topic ahead of time, I could be able to ask a question immediately and give more time because I notice you're always out of time because everyone's so excited to speak to the family. And you don't know how you made my whole weekend. I have never driven that distance in some time by myself. I used to be a sales rep, so, you know, I got burned out with driving. But my concern right now, sister, and have safe travels to Kingston, Jamaica, but I'm concerned about all the uproar about the Ebola and some of the nasty
yes.
statements that are being made. I can tell you I was very disappointed to find out who the medical staff was because they try to put this whole trickery of hype of HIPAA laws. You know, I had something with my child, but since she was 18, they wouldn't even have conversation with me, although I was paying the bill. So I want you to address that because I've been hearing a lot of ugly comments, and one of the latest ugly comments was talking about robbery, you know, making some kind of sly remark about Kenya. And that's not even one of the nation states that's having
right.
issues. But if you can sort of give me your take on a response and another concern, if you can get a chance to answer it, it's about what's happening in St. Louis and also what happened in Hammond, Indiana with the family that you didn't get a chance to go because you split your program on VON about the walk. But I'm pretty concerned about the voting because this is the system we have right now in place, and I would like to see that whole the whole panel looking different, who's representing the their constituents, because I don't think they
yes.
feel that they have to. So if you could address
yes,
that,
ma'am.
I would be so happy. And your beautiful
of
sister.
Of course. Well, let me just say this also. You know, Thursday night is actually the Ask Dr. Ava edition of Elevated Places. So we always come out with the major topics of the day and what's relevant to separation and freedom, justice, and equality. But you're allowed to introduce and bring up anything that you wish that pertains to us as a people. And, of course, Dr. Ridgey, I'm looking forward to his input. But I'll say, first of all, on the Ebola, if you go back to the time and what must be done and also the last edition of the Final Call newspaper, it is very clear to us that what we're looking at is yet another facet of the depopulation of the
right.
continent of Africa. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when we talk about Ferguson and we talk about what happened to the young black family that were pulled over in Hammond, Indiana, seatbelt, I guess, is the new popular reason to stop us. But as somebody said, it's always been that probable cause to stop you is being black. But the seatbelt is the latest rage. And so she was pulled over for seatbelt, and, of course, the cops came, guns drawn. They threw the metal spike thing to put your flatten your tires. They threw that on the ground in front of their car as they approached the car. Okay. The penalty for driving with your seatbelt unfastened is a fine. There's no such thing as incarceration, felonies,
right.
It's a motor vehicle offense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You get a ticket. Okay.
Right.
I have gotten a ticket. It's been a few years, but when the officer, and he's a brother. Thank God. I try to stay in those kind of areas, but he walked over. You know what he said to me? He said, "You know why I stopped you, okay?"
Right.
Usually, when you approach a motorist for a motor vehicle violation, it's like, "Sir, ma'am, do you know why I stopped you?" Or, "This is why I stopped you." Or, "May I see your license and registration?" You don't throw down spikes on the ground and surround the car, as the minister said, in time and what must be done. The backup is the modern-day Ku Klux Klan. It's a modern-day mob. You are being mobbed. These people are not afraid for their lives. They already told you that a police officer, when you list the most dangerous jobs in America, police officer isn't even in the top 10. My husband was once a lineman for ComEd. They're much higher on the list than cops. You know, firemen. You have all kinds of jobs that are very, very dangerous. And so that's a myth. That's a lie. You don't think a black woman driving with a man in the seat and two children in the back, you're not afraid. And you stopped them. They didn't run up on you.
More.
You never feel fear in any situation that you initiated. Think about life.
And they electrocuted
fear
the guy.
Fear comes when you feel insecure, right? When you fear comes from the unknown, not the known. They were the ones. And so when the brother was on last night, he was on HLN, and I just said on Mark's show, we need to stay off these shows and stop doing these interviews. But the family was interviewed, and this white woman asked the brother, who was tasered, would it not have been the – now listen to her question. Would not the rational thing to do have been to get out the car?
Oh,
no.
Please.
No.
See, when the officer – no, you say no, Dr. Ridge says no, I say no. Why? Because we're black. Okay, that's the point. That's the point we're making here week after week, year after year. There is these people, the messenger said it best, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the Christ, they are totally disagreeable to live with.
Mm-hmm. And terrorizing
No, it is
young
not
children.
Rational when you got a gun pointed in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman I'm with is calling 911. And I just came from watching on TV how you gunned down this 18-year-old child in the streets.
Right.
How you gunned down Oscar Grant. You gunned down, you choked Eric Garner to death.
Mm-hmm.
You shot the sister, and I hate that I keep forgetting her name. I'm going to remember it. The sister that was killed in Washington, D.C. in her car.
With her baby in the back.
With her baby. Do you all realize they shot her 27 times? Do you realize she had 15 bullet holes in her head?
Mm.
And you think in Indiana, the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan?
Oh, the Klan. Yes.
No, I am not getting out the car. No, I'm not.
You know, it's interesting that she was shot 15 times in the head for not doing anything, but someone who shot 15 times at the White House,
right.
They were told to stand
Let's
down.
Talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And
oh, by the way, her name, Sister Rona just sent me the name, Miriam Carey. Miriam Carey. But go ahead, Dr. Rich. You're right.
You know, when Obama was in office, when he came in office the first 2008, you know, we were talking about a post-racial America.
Yep.
And now we all, you know, don't understand what's going on. Well, there was never a post-racial America. That was all to hide the fact that Bush and them boys stole all the money out of the Treasury. I mean, they stole all the money. I mean, it's over $7 trillion they stole. So, I mean, they stole the money, and then they put a black man in office and say,
we're
the post-racial America to take the heat. So now they're getting ready for another big bank heist. I'm just telling you right now, they're going to rob everybody again, the whole world, and they want to get a civil war started. So what do? They start shooting black men in cold daylight. Now they make the whole world scared of Africa. Mm-hmm. Now you got to, you know, stop at the borders, checking for Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little study on the internet about Ebola, and one thing they said, well, they found the Ebola virus in pigs, but pigs do not get sick from the virus. So when I read that, I mean, immediately, okay, so they're putting the virus in the pig and putting the pig out into the black communities in Africa. So that's how they're spreading it. Okay? So they are spreading it to cause people to be afraid of us, and by the same time making us afraid of them, to set up a race war, to set up a scenario to have a race war, a civil war, to hide what they're doing, which is everybody's money is being robbed again. So we have to support Mr. Farrakhan, the economic blueprint, while these $2 bills have any value, because Honorable Elijah Muhammad said one day will come when the rich will be lighting up the cigars with $1,000 bills. So we need to take some of those bills and put them behind Minister Farrakhan so he can build us an economic arc, because they're getting ready to shut this bad boy down on top of us.
One last comment I'd like to say. I think if you want to make some instant money, and I share this with my husband, is to have a T-shirt and say, hashtag Obama did it. Because this is like they're trying to give all the misery with a black face, and have safe travels.
That's exactly right. And again, and thank you, Sister Darcel, for your call, beautiful call. Yeah, it's the black man. It's his fault. It's Thomas Eric Duncan introduced Ebola to the United States.
That's right.
So it's been here for years. It's already been here. And
well,
as I talked
here.
About, huh?
They made it here.
They produced it here, and it was all in the movie Outbreak, that came out in '97 with Dustin Hoffman. They can't help. They're like those serial killers that have to boast. You know, that's one of the traits of a sociopath. They have to brag about how wicked they are. And the evil they've done. That's why you see in the Holy Quran, you see Iblis talking crazy to Allah. And, you know, what I'm going to do, I'm going to lie and straight. I mean, this is symptomatic of being a sociopath. You know, you have a serious, serious disorder that can only be corrected by you being completely removed from reality. You know? And you're exactly right. And another thing Sister Rona sent me to remind us is the contractor that got on the elevator with the president.
Right.
See, all of this, everything we're talking about is being done deliberately.
Right.
And look at what you're saying about the Ebola virus and them putting it in the pig. And again, we've been told not to eat the pig. We don't
not to
eat
touch
pork.
Don't
That's even
right.
touch it. Don't even go where they serve it.
Right.
Okay? Don't eat out of a pan that it was cooked in. Okay? So here we can never overestimate the value of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So So we're going to go back to the phones. We got Brother Hoyle, and let's get his mic. Brother Hoyle?
As-salamu alaykum. Happy Holy Day of Atonement to all of you all.
Oh,
happy Holy Day of Atonement.
Yes, you got
yes,
to
yes.
You got some noise back there.
You got echo.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Can you hear me better
yes.
now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, get this earpiece off. You know, this new paper is beautiful. It says Open Season on Blacks. So I'm just letting everybody know that new final calls are, and it has all of what we're talking about. I want to back up something to what Dr. Ridgeon was saying. This is by our illustrious Dr. Muhammad, Dr. Aleem Muhammad. Now listen to this, you all. It says, according to Dr. Muhammad, the Ebola virus comes out of the Defense Department bioweapons program in Fort Detrick, Maryland. During the 1970s, the late leader of Zaire, Mobutu Sese Seko, was approached by a U.S. contractor with the Department of Defense associated with the biological weapons research in Fort Detrick, said Dr. Muhammad. The company was contracted to field test the HIV virus and needed a population of people to conduct the test on, he continued. They chose Eastern Zaire at the time, but President Mobutu refused the plan, he said. In retaliation, they released the virus that later became known as Ebola in a village near the Ebola River that had 90% mortality rate, charged Dr. Muhammad. That was in 1976, and the first occurrence of Ebola in what then was Zaire, now is the Democratic Republic of Congo. And since then, every outbreak of Ebola had been a deliberate act of biowarfare against the population. So, you know, that's pretty deep right there. Of how it actually started in Fort Detrick, and also AIDS, too. This is a beautiful show. I just wanted to throw that article out there, you know, from where it really just came from. And I also, maybe in a later time, bring up that the AIDS and some of the other viruses, but out of Fort Detrick, I forget what they call that place. Where they concoct all of this stuff, and we're looking at airports. Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, you know, the final call is usually be ahead of everybody else. You know, that's the paper
that's right.
that you have to go to as the final word on things, because of the research
right.
and the type of people that we got that can go out and get the truth of it. Yes, we are at war, and they intend to eliminate us because. The population-wise, they're not reproducing it, like Minister Farrakhan pointed out in the time what must be done. That in 100 years, if we do nothing, they're going to be gone anyway. So
that's right.
They're going to be gone, so they're doing all they can to destroy everything behind them. So we must accept the challenge that we are at war and begin to act accordingly instead of us trying to make it all go away by putting our head in the sand like it ain't there.
That's right.
Yeah, and we can't do. We have to accept that we can't do anything about it, about the fact that they are finite.
Right.
You know, loving them and marrying them and working for them and defending them, nothing is going to keep them here. Nothing.
Right. Also, it's a pretty beautiful article in the Final Call about this. New TV show about how to murder somebody. It's the sister Viola Davis.
How to get away with murder.
How to get away with murder. That's it. And they got her married to a white man, married to a white man, and dating a black man on the side. Oh, Lord.
You know, I was going to look at that thing. I ain't looking at it. I just ain't going to look at it.
I don't watch any of those programs. I've never seen Scandal. They're pulling out all the stops. They're desperate. Okay, so they're coming with everything they've got. That's the bottom line.
I bet. Witness. You all have a great day, and may Allah bless you all. And if you're going to Jamaica, have a safe trip. And assalamu alaikum, family.
Well, we appreciate you, Brother Hoyle. You always make great calls, and we thank you so much. So we're gonna go back to phones. We have Sister Ebony, who has a question and a comment. Welcome to Elevated Places, Sister Ebony.
Alhamdulillah, Sister Ava. I also want to say happy 19th anniversary of the Million Man March. Now, unlike Dr. Hoyle, Brother Hoyle, you may not think of me as calling positive, but I'm not being contentious, but I did want to share with you. I have a statement, and I have a comment and a question. And just simply, Dr. Risley, to you, when you said that in the Bible, everybody love everybody, I want to know if you would think about, is it a possibility that it means that love thy neighbor as thyself in terms of in the community of righteous black people come together in terms of prophecy in the future. And so just to say, Ava, my question is, you know, in honor of the historical Million Man March and after the 19-year of continuation of the fall of America and the economic castration and unacceptable political underachievement of black taxpaying constituents, with the so-called debacle of the gubernatorial debate they had in Chicago the other day with no mention of anything substantive. What, if any, do you have, Sister Ava, to offer? Is there a update regarding a past due much-needed separations conference, including reparations, concerning point number 4 of what the Muslims want?
Thank you so much, Sister Ebony. Dr. Ridgeley, do you want to respond to your part?
Well, yes, because, you know, the minister has taught us so well on that particular scripture in terms of love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, but Jesus asked the question, well, who is your neighbor? And he went us through the scenario, well, first with the man who was on the other side of this man who was beaten up and left for dead. He had one who went on the other side. Then another, the priest, he came by and he looked at him, but then he just left him there. And then the Good Samaritan came along and you know, put balm on his wounds and, you know, took him to the inn, took care of him. So the question is, who is your neighbor? And the reason that Jesus did that was that at that time, the Samaritan was not considered a good person. The Samaritan was on the bottom rung. So he was showing through that it's not a question of the name. It's a question of who helps you is your neighbor. So, therefore, white folks definitely do not fit into that. But, again, love your neighbor has nothing to do with love everybody, because everybody would include those other people.
Everybody's not your neighbor, first of all.
That's not your neighbor, because the other two people who didn't help this man, he specifically put this out. So they're human, too, but they're not your neighbor, and he didn't say love them.
Excellent, excellent response. And, again, on the separation conference, Brother Ridgeley, you brought that up, and as well as Brother Lewis, and of course, Sister, our entire being is devoted to this. That's why you're able to quote number 4 of what the Muslims want from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as I said at the outset of this program, we're already engaging in that action through our leader, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This move that he just made in going to Kingston, Jamaica, the only other action in that league taken by a black leader is his own, which is the Million Man March. You know, it's like Michael Jackson was in the music world. You're your own competition. There's nobody even in your realm, there is no one else. He is the not only ordained and appointed and anointed by Allah God, he is it. In order to be a leader, you have to have a vision. And there is no one else that has a vision. Allah God has given the vision. And so it's already taking place because, see, look, separation is demonstrated in many ways, but one clear action is when we move without seeking the permission of the slave master's children.
That's right.
That is a key step. It is a crucial step. It is a mandatory step in freedom, justice, and equality. Ask ourselves as individuals, have you ever done anything where you did not feel compelled to consider what the view of white people would be about what you're doing? If you have, then you've already moved towards separation. It's like the cells in the body. You're moving out on your own. You're moving toward independence. And so in calling 1 million men and 2 million responded, Minister Farrakhan didn't seek the permission.
That's right.
Of the U.S. government, of white America. Before the physical, there is the spiritual, the intellectual, the moral separation has to take place, and then it's followed by the physical. So the Million Man March in 1995 came after decades of a spiritual planting, rooting, and growing in the United States of America among black men and women here. Now he has left the shores of this country without asking their permission. Could he do this?
Come on.
To go over and talk to our brothers and sisters in the city of Kingston in the island nation of Jamaica. Now, this ain't the first time at the rodeo for Minister Farrakhan by a long shot, okay? But this is the culmination of decades and decades of work, much of which is unseen. And this is why the Holy Quran speaks to those who believe in the unseen.
Right.
And so it is happening as we speak.
I got to say this.
Yes, sir.
Since you mentioned about Minister Farrakhan going to Jamaica and having the Million Man March and not asking for permission. Now, you remember I said I went and saw this movie with Denzel Washington, and he killed up all these white people in the movie. But there was no racial threat in that, even though it was a black man killed up all these white people, because in the movie, he asked permission. He actually went to who he used to work for in the government, because he used to work in the government, and he went and talked with her, and her husband asked him, "Is he asking for help?" She said, "No, he's not asking for help. He's just asking for permission."
That's right.
So he got permission to kill all the white folks. That's why it wasn't a danger. He wasn't a threat to white people's consciousness. If you look at the movie, because he got permission. Mr. Farrakhan is not killing anybody, but he's definitely not asking for permission to go to Jamaica, to go to Cuba, to have the Million Man March, to go to Africa, to visit Gaddafi, to go to Iraq. Wherever he goes, he doesn't ask permission. He is a free black man, and we all have to learn how to follow that example, but you got to have some testiculars to do that.
And he does not employ solutions that have been proven useless and worthless.
Right.
As I was saying on Mark's show earlier on Make It Plain, this whole idea of retraining. Why do we keep buying into that conversation that the enemy of our freedom, the enemy of your freedom is giving you the solution? How can the person causing the problem provide you with the solution? They're the ones sending the police into your community to kill your children, to kill your wives, your daughters, your sisters, your brothers. And then they say, well, you all need to talk about retraining. See, they dropped that seed.
Right.
That's not a, going back to what we said, Dr. Ridgely, about what's natural. That's not natural to go to the source of your problem. You don't see the zebra going over to the lion pride and saying, we want to talk to you about you guys eating us. Okay. you just don't do that. But we're going to get, as we come down to 25 minutes, we're going to go back to the phones and let's see. We've got Sister Angelita.
Assalamu alaikum, family, and happy Holy Day of Atonement.
Same Holy
Day of Atonement to you.
Yes, ma'am. I was going to ask the same question Sister Ebony asked. When, Lord, when are we going to have this separation conference? And what assignment might you give the foot soldier in terms of doing research or bringing something to the table so we're not merely attending? And then I wanted to ask you, had you heard of Glenn Thomas? Have we spoken about Glenn Thomas before? He was one of the scientists missing on the Malaysian airline.
I don't know that name sounds familiar to me, but I don't recall us discussing
okay.
him on the
show. We'll have to discuss Mr. Glenn Thomas and his position with, I forget the agency, but he was a top Ebola scientist, AIDS as well. So I'll leave that alone for now.
Wow.
Yes, and he was very fed up from one of the articles I read, not wanting to go along any further with, you know, this evil plot. So anyway, more later. Thank you.
Inshallah, Allah willing, Savior's Day, there will be something. Just as we have attempted the last few Savior's Days with the Elevated Places programming, the live programming, that's what we talked about. If you remember last year, we talked about, you know, we're acquiring properties as we speak in Detroit, residential properties. And people, I'll just say it like this, conscious people are already moving there. Everything can't be just thrown out here
right
now. But just know that something soon will be occurring. There's a whole lot of activity. It's like a beehive that is going on. And I just want to focus
right now
on Jamaica.
Yeah, we're talking. We're working on some things. Just be patient.
Absolutely.
We'll let you know.
That's right. As soon as possible. I was trying to get to, I think I slid past him because I know he was either next or I hope we didn't lose him. But we had Dr. Salam holding, and I don't see him now. So I'm going to go ahead to Brother Lewis, and I'm going to keep looking for Dr. Salam. Brother Lewis, welcome back to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum. Happy Holy Day of Atonement.
Happy Holy Day of Atonement to you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. 19 years ago, we worked day and night in every city, following the spirit and the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to make the Million Man March a success all over the world, something that the world had never seen before. And I believe if we work with the same zeal and energy and spirit and follow the minister and get behind the minister and get away from the moderate Muslims, I believe that we can make this separation and independence thing a reality in the minds and hearts of all of our people. It starts with, I believe, clarity. And the minister said during the time and what must be done that confession has to be open. And so if we had this conference and we publicized the conference, which last year, Savior's Day, we didn't get the DVD of what was said during your show out, but we should have got it out, and maybe this year we can get it out so that the masses of our people can see it. Because really, we all know on this line that integration is an inferior idea, it's a sin, and it's killing us. And I had one just quick comment about last week's show, when Brother Terrence was talking about a Caucasian who seemed to be an understanding and maybe even a friendly Caucasian to the plight of black people or oppressed people. But when he read the information in the final call about Ebola, he immediately just talked about how racist we were and all of this here. See, this is the worst type of Caucasian. This is one of those John Hawkins kind of Caucasian who sets up a beachhead down among black people, learns the language, and pretends like he's sympathetic. And even his whole nature came out. But the danger in it is that as black people, whenever a Caucasian, particularly a white female, shows any sympathy or even a smile toward us, we act as if we've forgotten their history. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said that, in what the Muslims want, that we believe that intermarriage and race mixing should be prohibited, and we want the religion of Islam taught without hindrance and suppression. Whenever we have friends, the moderate Muslims, they always suppress Islam. They always do that. The moderate Negroes, they do that. And so now we got to push this thing really hard, and it really has to be public. We got to come out the closet and really make this a reality. And I know we can do it. And so I'm so grateful for your show, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and you and Dr. Ridgely. Every week we listen. And the people, they are ready. And so may Allah bless y'all on this Holy Day of Atonement. And we want to lift up the ministers.
Sir. Well, you're exactly right. Well, alaikum salam, Brother Lewis. You're exactly right. We have to push this, but what we have to be pushing is we just make sure that people understand it's not like a propaganda campaign or an effort to make this popular, because it's never going to be popular. And Master Fardard Muhammad said that. He said it would never be a mass movement. So there's no point in trying to making it what he said it wasn't going to be. But what we have to push to do is to make it happen and understand that it's going to be a small number of people.
Right.
That
right.
We cannot continue. That's what drives my husband up the wall. You're like, what are we waiting on? You know, at a certain point, Noah and them few little people had to get on the ark. And most of the people didn't, okay? It wasn't like they tried and there wasn't room. They just didn't get on the ark. And so that's the reality that we have to come to terms with. And we have a duty, as we're getting the calls from people, and people are saying, where's the conference, where's this? The duty is to the people that have accepted this truth, which includes ourselves and our own families and our own children. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm interested in my daughters coming up and out in a society. I don't want them to live in a society where somebody has to be trained not to shoot them. Okay.
Amen.
I want them to live in a natural, civilized
right.
environment with their own people. I think that it is against the creative force of nature when we have to keep arguing and debating with people and then talking about what the latest evil is that they're coming up with. It's robbing us of our creative energy. I did find Dr. Salam.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I want to make a comment on was that, you know, I think Mr. Farrakhan cleared up with us this idea of a moderate Muslim, that those two words should not go together.
Yes, he did.
I think Brother Lewis is being kind, overly kind, by talking about that. But either you are Muslim or you are not.
Mm-hmm.
There's
such
a thing as a moderate Muslim. So when you begin to move towards moderation, you have stepped out of Islam and into some type of fakery. So I just wanted to bring that forward.
Really? Amen.
Well, that's exactly right. That watered-down, diluted Islam is not Islam. Just like there's no such thing as extremists.
Right.
You know, Islam is peace and balance. By definition.
By definition.
Okay. So there's no such thing as going off the grid in either direction. You know, as the Holy Quran puts it, reasonable obedience is desired. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah is constantly referring to reasoning and being rational and thinking. And it is not rational to seek to live with white people. It's not rational in the face of reality. Dr. Salam, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Thank you. Yeah, something came on and said, thank you for contacting Elevated Places and hung up. I tell you, this devil is something.
Well, yeah, they can't handle this one tonight.
Yeah, I bear witness. I know time is short, but... you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. And you all have magnified it very well that here's a brother in our midst, the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan, who doesn't ask permission to do anything. When
That's
he
right.
first announced the Million Man March, I believe it was on Donahue. And he just said it right on Donahue's show. He said, I'm going to ask for a million black men to come, a million men. And Donahue said, well, do you think they'd come? He said, I don't know. He said, if it be Allah's will. Now, when a man says, if it be Allah's will, and that will is manifested, who do you have in your midst? And this man don't ask anybody to do anything. He doesn't ask for government funding. He replaced that with an economic blueprint, which is no more than a detailed outline of a plan. And somebody asked me that when I was speaking down in Mississippi a couple of weeks ago, and said, "What are you talking about a blueprint?" I said, "Well, it's a correct word for the righteous." I said, "Your pastor, for instance." He gets government funding, so he's government subsidized. So y'all can go out and have clothes closets and shoe closets, and he comes in with a 1964 truck 1 month, and he's got a Lexus the next month. I said, that's not what the ministry of Allah is all about. And I don't say the ministry of the Christ. I said the ministry of Allah, because that's the ministry that the minister is given. This is all for Allah, and it's all about Allah. And this man is he's just the man right now. There's no one else at all you can even mention that can, you know, he's very humble. He speaks in the midst of all of them. But when it's all said and done, he's the last to speak. He gets the ovations, and he gets the respect. And I love him dearly. He saved my life in 1995. And for that, I will be the Muslim that I am and try to be better each day. And that's all I have today.
Well, thank you. That's plenty.
Thank you, fam. That's all I like.
A blueprint, an outline, a detailed plan of action. Detailed plan of action. Nobody but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who met with God in person, and now his representative, Minister Louis Farrakhan, have ever provided black people with a blueprint. All we ever get from so-called leaders are how to survive and react to the injustices that are piled upon us.
That's right.
See, they say, have the police retrain. Minister Farrakhan told the white police when he was over at Mosque Number 7, get out of Harlem, just get out.
Right.
That's the solution there. There's a point at which further interaction can only be harmful. And that's the point where we are. We're just frustrating each other. And that's why I said I really don't like these video clips that are being shown on television of us being stopped by the police, shot by the police, attacked by the police, because it's becoming the norm. And that's why that's the headline on this week's Final Call newspaper. It's open season on us.
Yep.
And when you show those kind of clips to a white male, do you think he's sitting there saying, oh, that's terrible?
Right. Come
He's
on.
Loading up his gun to
That's
go
right.
get him one. Well, I didn't know I
That's
could
right.
do that now.
That's right.
Why didn't y'all tell
and get away?
Him?
Yep.
And get away with it.
Yep.
That's the only thing that was holding them back.
That's right.
You know, it's unbelievable. We're going to go back to the lines and get a couple more calls in. And I'm just having a hard time with this tonight. Now, I had a sister, and a sister niece. Oh, here she is. 415.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Am I there?
Beth,
yes, you're
on. You are on. You are live, beloved.
Oh, I'm so happy. The caller earlier, when Dr. Ava, you were speaking on the brother on TV, going on that program, it made me flash back 2 years ago. I was doing something with acting or was on a job, something, and they had a marketing professional come out, and they showed how when they're going to do an interview, they have a certain goal question that they ask. And so they train you. So if you're the interviewer or you're the person that's going to be interviewed, you have a trained question. So no matter what the person says to you, matter how the person answers the question, you have this trained question because you have a point that has to be made, and it doesn't matter if it's irrational, because if you just continue to repeat this thing. So when you said that, it made me think, you know, they all, the people, the family is coming on there thinking, you know, they're going to get their point, and they're going to share with the world the injustice, and they don't realize, well, the staff, they have a point. You niggas, what is rational for you is that you get out the car so we can blow your head off. You know, so it's like, that. So when she said that, you know, wouldn't it have been the most rational? Well, they had a meeting before well, what do we want the Negro? Now they want black people listening to that to think, yes, we should just get out the car because that's what's rational. And what it made me think of, too, is, you know, they're so structured because I feel like they are so attached to how they got here through the supreme wisdom. I mean, just watching, I just went to see Kill the Messenger today, and I said, oh, wow. I mean, this man was shot 2 times in the head in real life in 2004. A reporter is shot, a white reporter. Shot 2 times in the head, and it was ruled a suicide.
I guess he missed the first time.
You see, so it just says to me, like, you know, these people are focused on how they got here. They the same methodology. They're not confused. That, you know, we love that.
Well,
we come out. We love
who they are.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just love you all so much, Dr. Ridley. I've been listening on Saturdays. I'm just so excited. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sister. Alaikum
salam.
No, that is exactly right. And you know, it's very interesting because Minister Farrakhan taught me the converse of that. He always told me. He said,
please,
wherever you go, he said, get your point across. No matter what they say. He said, and we don't go anywhere we don't control. Okay?
Ooh.
And we don't argue with people. You don't go back and you make your point, and if they start to degenerate or become savage, just get up and leave. You are there to state your position. You know, and Sister Nisi is exactly right. Our poor people in their naivete, and frankly, they're getting chastised. We are being chastised for disobeying Allah's messenger. And so we're getting our behind kicked, like the man said in the movie Aliens. We just got our behind kicked, okay, by those insects. See, she's exactly right. You go on actually thinking in your self-imposed craziness that you're going to get a fair hearing. You're going on the program of the same people that were pointing the guns at you. That's their woman. Those cops that had them guns out, this blonde woman questioning you, that's their woman. She's worse than them. Why didn't you just get out the car? See, she's offended. And then the host of the show said to him, can't you take some of the blame? Can't you agree that you are partly to blame? And as she said, it's their mindset, and it's more than them being even focused on their making. They are the product of their making. I've been rereading the transcript of the Theology of Time, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that Yaqub, Dr. Yaqub, their God, one of us, a black man, is their God. Okay.
That's right.
But so you say, well, if their God is a black man, why are they treating us like this? Because he made them that way.
Right.
His action in making them was an act of being contrary to his own people. He told his uncle, I'm going to make a people to rule over you. That's all they know. Don't we get that? They don't know how to be equal with us. I'm sitting in my house now. If a crocodile crawled up in here. He is not going to sit and talk with me about the teachings. He's going to open his mouth, and he's going to go for my head.
And, you know, these things about these interviews, you know, they're so scientific for how they do things. You know, when you look at the 11 o'clock news, they go around, and they ask questions to different people. And then they put on the air those answers that they like.
Exactly. Right.
You know, to make you think without the general opinion of the people that were there, they go around and ask a bunch of people, and when they get the answer that they want, that's the one they put on the TV.
Well, you know, you're making me laugh. I'm thinking about it. We're about 5 minutes out, but we'll just go out lighthearted. Years ago, when Bush was in office, Bush the second, and I'm going to talk about that one of these days too, how you've had four families in the White House. See, we got to talk about family. Ooh. Out of all the millions of people in this country, there's only been a very few people been in the White House. But anyway, when Bush was in, and you remember he spent a third of his presidency on vacation. So one of the times he had left and gone on this long vacation, to your point, to prove your point, Dr. Ridgely, they were interviewing people on the streets of Washington, D.C., what they thought about the president taking yet another vacation. And they were not getting good answers. So finally they approached this guy, and it's this white dude with a dark suit, white shirt, tie, and shades. And they said, "Excuse me, sir, what do you think?" He said, "I think the president should go on vacation. He deserves." And so Darius said, "That's Secret Service." You know, they just couldn't find anybody in that moment, so they sent him out there to say, "Walk up the street."
Walk up the street.
So we can get the answer we're looking for. Because they are not going to stop until it goes their way. And that's the bottom line.
He still had his shades on? Oh, no. Oh, no.
So it's like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he is the God of this world. And what we got to understand, this is like Krypton, planet Krypton. It's going out. It's about to explode. Some of their own people have told them, look, you're bringing us to our end, but they kept going. And now it can't be saved. A few of them will be saved because they are assisting us.
Mm.
So they will have an extension of time. But ultimately, even they and their offspring, they just will not be part of this universe anymore. They are the product of an experiment of a contrary black God. So, again, happy Day of Atonement, Holy Day of Atonement to all of those traveling. Please be safe, be careful. May Allah go with you. We know he will. We know the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is going to just be incredible on Sunday. And thank Allah for technology. NOI.org live, Kingston, Jamaica, October the 19th.
Thank you for listening.
3 Eastern, 2 Central. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister LaDonna, and Brother Ishaq, Sister Valerie, Brother Tim, Brother Darius, all the people that make Elevated Place the success that it is. And inshallah, we'll be basking in the joy of the success next Thursday.
We are all preparing for a brand new
Alaykum Salaam.